Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Cheers everybody. I assume everybody has a brew open like we do. I already opened mine.
And you know when Mountain Dew came out?
No.
Take a guess.
Like 1945?
Close, 1940.
Damn. So Mountain Dew started and then World War II happened. So what am I supposed to conclude with that?
Or then it ended.
And then it did end. That's true.
It did happen in that order.
1940, man. That's a little bit ago. That's actually not that. Only like 80 years? 75 years?
85.
Man, there's people alive that have been doing the Dew the entire time the Dew has existed.
The Superman's almost been doing the Dew like his whole life.
Whoa, true. Wait, yeah, Superman was created in
38.
Wow. What a fucking nerd.
Yeah, I know.
You know that shit.
Some of those dates I know, but anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Thunderbolts.
Nope.
We got Back Matter Matters.
I'm trying to find the subtitle.
Thunderbolts No Quarter. It's like the 2012 run.
Yeah.
We got also got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Nathan, you got any news?
I got some news.
Let's hear it.
You got news?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's a new day.
Always news. Did you see kind of not comic book news, but did you see the Predator animated movie trailer?
Show? Yeah.
Is it called Predator Killer of Killers?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a movie.
You thought that was a movie?
A Disgusting Film called it the Predator animated film.
That'd be crazy. Trailer,
which was released.
Maybe it's an anthology film.
That could be it too, but that's how I know it. I could be wrong though. But that'll be a good opportunity for us to do some Predator comics.
It's exactly a good opportunity for Predator comics.
So that's why I bring it up. Whenever that comes out. I think it was June
6th.
Yep. Oh yeah. It's an upcoming American adult animated science fiction action anthology film directed by Dan Trachtenberg.
Yeah, because there's like...
How's it an anthology film if it's directed by one guy?
It's probably like we're just going to release it as a film.
Okay.
And then instead of like episodes.
Cool. But it looks fun.
Yeah, it looks cool. The Predator looks huge. And like,
he looks fucking beefy. I'm like, is that him?
Giant Predator?
Yeah, he's giant, which makes sense.
But yeah, I was trying to look into Predator stuff, and a lot of them are like out of print, and there's not a lot to choose from as far as like available like digitally, you know?
Predator comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really just kind of the Marvel stuff, and then...
I guess we'll have to do that.
Yeah, some Ed Brisson.
Or there's like a Predator Batman, right?
Yes, but I think it's...
That one might be out of print.
Yeah.
And probably not available digitally.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll look into it.
We'll find it. That's cool.
Nathan, speaking of animated anthology series or animated anthology stuff.
Uh-huh.
Love, Death, and Robots, season 4.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
You don't like Love, Death, and Robots?
I do.
Because you didn't watch season 3.
I did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was on the ship?
It was an alien.
Oh, yeah. It was an alien.
On the ship.
That's where you're going with? Yeah, the rainy episode.
I think a werewolf.
This guy doesn't know death.
But the last episode of that one was like the people in the river, right? It was like the river people, they're dancing. And then there's like an army.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. You skipped around.
I saw the good ones.
Anyway, coming May 15th, dude.
Damn, that's soon.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I hate Netflix.
They drop shit and it's like, here it comes.
I mean, I guess like it is in like the area of like, when I'm interested in things, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard for us to like prepare when it's
a comic book thing, so we don't necessarily need to do anything for it. But
well, we'll get to that later. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Nathan, you like romance comics?
I like the one that I've read, which we did for this show, Love Everlasting.
Was it Hellboy in Love?
Hellboy in Love was good, too.
Well, Hellboy in Love is getting a sequel, Nathan.
Hellboy More in Love?
It's called Hellboy in Love, : The Art of Fire.
Is he in love again?
It's the same woman. More
okay, good.
More love stories.
Cool. What was her name?
Anastasia.
Nice. Okay.
Or Anastasia.
Pass the test.
Coming August 6th.
Cool. Is it the same guy doing art? Do we know who's doing art?
I didn't look like it, but I could be wrong.
Hmm.
Maybe I just saw a cover, so.
Gotcha. Daniel, is Marvel announced Werewolf by Night, Blood Moon Rise, number one for July 30th release. It's going to be written by the director of the Werewolf by Night thing for Disney Plus, Michael
Giacchino. Special.
The special, yeah. It's going to be written by Michael Giacchino, the director of that thing, which is pretty cool, with art by David Messina on art.
Nice.
That's pretty fun.
Cool.
You know, film director doing some comics. We like that sometimes.
I don't think it translates all the time, you know?
It doesn't.
But he thinks it must be just so easy.
That could be a month of comics like that, because Quentin Tarantino's done one.
Right? Yeah.
Because he did the Zorro Django crossover. And like J.J. Abrams has done some comics writing.
Yeah.
Technically James Gunn now with Vigilante. Right.
There's a couple that I'm forgetting, but...
Joss Whedon, technically, but I think he's mainly in comics first.
I think he started a comic. Yeah. Anyway, pretty exciting.
Yep.
Hey, then you like Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
You ever wondered what happened before that?
No.
Well, we're getting a prelude, or we're getting a prequel comic.
Mornings by of Future Past
by Chris Claremont.
It's when they wake up.
It's called Prelude to Future Past.
Nice.
Coming July 2nd.
It's just the day that they wake up and they're like, I hope nothing bad happens today.
Yeah.
I hope we stay in this timeline.
Sure, there's not any other ones.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be thrown into any time loops anytime soon. Yeah, I did see that. I think that it was already released in something before, but now it's like being printed on its own. So it's not like super new story, I guess.
Okay.
To my understanding.
Yeah, they keep dropping these things like it's news, even though it's like stuff that's out there already.
Yeah, but it's just like
you, what are you doing
it
to me?
You can just buy it on its own now or whatever.
You're embarrassing me.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope, that's all I got.
Perfect.
We're recording a couple of these in advance, so less time for news.
But this might be old news.
It will be old news.
By the time you listen to it. I don't know, what if people have no other source of news? It's just us.
That's true.
And it's news to them still.
Yeah, true.
Those are the kind of people I like.
Surprise.
Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read Thunderbolts, No Quarter by Daniel Way with artist Steve Dillon, color artist Guru EFX, and letterer Joe Sabino. And something I'm just now noticing is the cover of this, the subtitle No Quarter, it looks like it was added like right before they had to go to press. Or to printing.
Yeah.
Like, is that is not a fun font at all.
It's just like, it's like Arial or something.
It's like, shit, we got to put that on there real quick.
We got to do all caps.
Yep. Yeah, so this is the Marvel Now one. This is the second run of Thunderbolts, because there's one before this.
And that started in like the 90s?
Yeah, I think so. And then
went for a long time.
And then the only other one which I've read was the Warren Ellis one with Penance in it. But there's been a couple since then.
Okay, yeah. But
Thunderbolts asterisk, the movie, is coming out, which will be... hopefully good.
We'll see. I won't, but
you won't see it. Oh yeah, true.
Yeah, I'll have like a 2 week old at that point.
You 3 week old, it.
Maybe. I'm scared of that.
Yeah, because that South Park episode where they like pirate music in the SWAT team. Daniel, I'm half convinced that the movie exists because this Julian Totino Tedesco cover is so cool.
That is top tier cover.
This is one of the coolest shit he's ever done.
That's what sold me on the book.
Yeah, it's literally, I think it has a level of popularity because of just this cover was probably enough for tons of people to get number one and continue getting it because of the covers.
Mm.
It is so cool. But the book's pretty good too.
Yeah.
I like seeing Steve Dillon on stuff. You don't really see
high
him.
Quality Dillon.
Yeah, it is. He's doing like a bunch of weird stuff because we're normally he's doing, you know, just a Punisher or like he's on Preacher or something like that. So it's cool seeing him do like
and Punisher and other things.
Yeah, Punisher and plus some. But seeing him do like big men, big Hulk guy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. What's sad to think about is that there's like only a limited amount of Steve Dillon stuff to read.
I know. And it's possible like,
and just keeps getting smaller the more we read.
No, the more Steve Dillon stuff we do. I mean, you got a whole fucking omnibus of his shit right behind you. You haven't even read it.
I'm this far, dude.
How many of those have you all read, like completely, besides Invincible?
Don't talk about it. No. They're there for when The time is right.
Okay, that's fair.
And comics are like a fine wine, Nathan.
Oh, okay. You got to keep them on the shelf and
you'll crack them open when the time's right.
Yeah. When you reach an accomplishment or something.
No, I'm just like, when I feel like it.
No, it's like, I guess I'll do this. But yeah, this is fun. It was like a little bit different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, super different than I thought it was going to be.
Just because the Thunderbolts one catches the vibe of this cover, but I don't know if this cover catches the vibe of this story necessarily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like a little bit different in just the way that the team dynamic was sort of working, or like what their goal was, kind of deal.
But, yeah.
Still some cool stuff in here.
Yeah, borderline just war comic.
Yeah, kind pretty of. Much.
A lot of stuff in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
They each issue has like a title, which I thought was fun.
Oh yeah.
Which you don't always get.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. Yeah, it kind of took me a minute, like a couple issues, to understand like what their mission was, which I feel like probably know like first issue, but I guess
it was just, like, on purpose.
Yeah.
Because Thunderbolt Ross had some ulterior motives that we didn't really understand completely.
Right.
But I do find it kind of hard to believe that some of the people would join this team without knowing what their goal is necessarily.
Yeah. I think I'm just putting like too much Suicide Squad on it, you know, even though it's like,
yeah,
it is separate.
Yeah.
So,
but let's get into it. So issue one, Frank Castle is being held hostage by a bunch of guys. We don't really know why, but they're all dead now. And General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross is there trying to convince Frank to join a team of people that can do what needs to be done to cut out the bad in the world. Basically, he's putting together a team that kills people. And then throughout this issue...
A team of punishers.
Throughout this issue, we see Ross like recruiting other people for this team, like Agent Venom in Somalia. We see Deadpool in like, where, France?
Mm-hmm. He's killing some mimes.
He's recruiting Elektra, and now recruiting the Punisher. Frank eventually agrees, and Ross turns into the Red Hulk to help Frank escape a bunch of guys that are trying to kill him.
Classic get the team together issue.
Yeah, which is pretty fun. I like, probably the one I enjoyed the most was the Elektra one, because it's like a guy walking up to just two guys that are guarding a door, and then the fucking, what do you call those?
Twin size.
The twin size, just kind of stab them through the door.
Yeah, so you only see like, you know, the dude's head, and then something comes out of his forehead. Yeah. I thought Ross was like throwing toothpicks at them or something.
Dude, I thought he like shot a nail gun at him.
Yeah. I'm like, I was like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that's fun. And then the fact that Deadpool's just killing mimes, like, that's pretty par for the course.
Mimes, I assume.
Yeah.
They had guns.
They had to be evil. Yeah, they did have guns.
They should have silencers on them.
Dude, that would have been such a funny detail to add.
I didn't think about it until just now. So. Yeah.
But of course, love seeing some Steve Dillon Punisher. He's a very angry looking man all the time, which is super fun.
Yeah. His Punisher is kind of like what I think of when I think of Punisher in comics. You know?
But
just because I read like a little bit of Punisher Max. I haven't gotten through it, but that was just, and also I read his Punisher with like Becky Cloonan.
Oh yeah.
Which I think was like one of his last books.
Yeah, it was. I think he passed away while working on that book.
Yeah, potentially.
But yeah, I like his style. Like just seeing a Punisher with like a slick back hair, but he's got like a couple strands of hair that come down, you know, something about
it. Yeah,
it's
not too clean cut.
And then like the suit would just like seemingly just a big black long sleeve shirt, just the Skull logo on there. All right. Issue two. There's a meeting between Red Hulk and the rebel forces of a place called Kata Jaya, which is an island somewhere, pretty small. And Red Hulk wants to get rid of the evil dictator so that the rebel forces can, I don't know, be free. But obviously Ross has some sort of ulterior motive, because he wants to, they have like gamma weapons over there, and Ross wants some of those. And so he brings the Thunderbolts team over there, and as soon as Deadpool and Elektra show up to the islands, they get captured. And then there's like tensions between Punisher and Venom not trusting Ross, because there's like a lack of information that he told them about why they need to go to the island. And then we see Ross has the leader sedated somewhere in like a shipping container. So why has he got the leader?
I don't know.
We don't really know.
It's such a timely book for us to read, because we got Red Hulk. We got the leader.
And the leader.
That's it. But
that's two, Punisher. Punisher's a thing going on right now.
Oh, true.
In the show.
Yeah, yeah. Venom.
I guess.
Yeah, okay. Did you think that like the Red Hulk was just like, he just looks so smooth.
Dude, he's so, he looks like he lotions.
Yeah, he looks very moisturized. Yeah, here.
It's just the way that like he's colored, because I think Dylan doesn't do a whole lot of like texturing with like these bigger characters.
Yeah.
As far as like adding details and stuff. So he just looks very shiny.
Could have added like some veins or something.
Very balloony almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think some veins would have gone a long way, but it's just
like creatine, you know.
It's kind of cool at the same time.
Yeah, it works. Second pass, it doesn't. I think I kind of got used to it, but at first I was like,
seeing like this, it's like, wow, that is a shiny man.
Yeah.
We're getting robbed again because Rolk doesn't have his mustache.
That's how it goes.
So unfortunately, we got baited again.
That would have cleared things up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then we see the team color coordinated for the first time.
How cool does Agent Venom look with his like kiss, like makeup eyes?
Yeah, dude, kiss makeup.
That's, he looks awesome. Fucking metal as shit, dude.
Yeah, he. So
why is he hissing? Is he just? I think that's the symbiote talking, basically.
Yeah, that seems like it.
I don't know, dude.
But something about this Agent Venom that I noticed is that, like, he doesn't really use his tendrils to fight a whole lot.
Not really.
In this, even though he did in the Age of Venom that we read, he would like pick up guns and shoot people with it and stuff.
Yeah.
But this one, I guess Steve Dillon just kind of strays away from that. In this panel, though, there's like some symbiote, like little noodles coming out.
I forgot he could do that at first. Until, yeah, honestly. He does it like at the end.
Mm-hmm. But we see the team get color coordinated for the first time in like the red and black.
Mm-hmm.
So like Punisher was given like a red skull, like armor plate thing.
Yeah.
And then Venom was just like, all right, I'll change to red then.
If you see someone with like a red Punisher shirt, be like, oh, deep cut.
Deep cut. Daniel White, Steve Dillon.
Thunderbolt.
But I guess Agent Venom can just change color.
Whoa.
Which makes sense, because if the symbiote is able to turn white, I guess it's not that far of a stretch to think that it could turn red.
Yeah.
But I just never thought of it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. True, true.
So, but why is the leader red? Leader's normally green, right?
Is he red here?
He's red in this book, yeah.
Is he sure it's not just the lighting?
In this, it's like a pretty red room, but like the rest of the book, he's red.
Well, is it because he's got some gamma radiation?
Isn't it like red and green gamma radation? Is that a thing?
I have no clue.
You read World War Hulk, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is there a radiation in space?
Red Hulk's not even in it, I don't think. So, like, it doesn't come up.
All right. I don't know. I don't know Hulk lore that much.
So, when, like, Elektra and Deadpool were, like, getting onto this dock, trying to, like, sneak in or whatever.
Yeah.
Elektra's taking off, like, her wetsuit, and then Deadpool's like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but stop taking off your clothes.
Because they're going to get attacked.
Yeah.
That is a good line.
Right, that's the best one.
Yeah. There's a couple times where Deadpool, I don't know if he really hits, necessarily.
I think... I don't know if he's like laugh out loud funny or anything, but I think his voice, I appreciate like Daniel White's voice with him, because there is like some humor to things that he says.
Yeah, his vibe is silly for sure.
Yeah,
throughout his, which is good.
Deadpool gets kind of like too wacky, like a little after this point, like kind of like the Jerry Duggan like years, you know, because Daniel White wrote Deadpool for a while.
Oh, that's right.
And so I think he knows how to like do it. What happened to Daniel Way? I feel like he was on a lot of stuff.
He was on a lot of stuff around this time, which was, what did we say, like 2008 or something? 2010?
12.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if I could Google that.
Yeah, let's look some stuff up.
He lives in Hawaii, co-founded Geek Craft Expo, a Comic-Con style craft fair, and he performs in a rock band, Gamma Gamma Ray.
Wow.
Wait, really? He's adding a musical twist to his events. So he owns a Comic-Con, and apparently he was working on an Ant-Man Max series, but it got canceled. I'm going to look up Gamma Gamma Ray. I think that's important.
I'm just kind of seeing his name on like a lot of like new collections that are coming out from like old work that he did.
Yeah. There's a different band called Gamma Ray, which seems to be much more popular from an SEO sense.
I guess he did some issues of Hit Girl back in like 2019.
Oh, when the Mark Miller stuff was happening?
Yeah, or Hit Girl in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he did some of that. Oh, he wrote Hit Monkey?
The comic?
Yeah.
The comic that we read?
Yeah, the only comic there is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, good.
And that was back in 2019. So it's been a minute.
It's been a little bit. Because, yeah, he was around a lot. But I wonder if something happened or... But glad he's not dead.
Yeah, you think he'd be, like, doing, like... I mean, I guess, like, you don't have to do comics forever or whatever.
Right.
But maybe, like, some sort of creator-owned kind of thing or something.
Mm-hmm. I could see him being on, like, a Valiant book for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Like, throw him on, like, fucking Ninjak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I could see him doing, like, Bloodshot,
too.
He could
do a Bloodshot. I could see him do...
I heard Dennis Camp did, like, Bloodshot recently.
Yeah, Drew from...
Did he say that?
Nexus. Yeah, he was, like... He recommended it to me twice.
Yeah, he's really big on Dennis Camp right now.
Yeah, he is. Which
I don't even think that book's, like, collected yet.
The Bloodshot one?
Yeah.
No, it is.
Really?
There's, like, a hardcover of it, at least.
Oh.
He, like, pointed to it, and he was like, this is pretty good, too, if you like Denise Camp. Because I was talking to him about...
Oh, Denise.
Absolute Martian Manhunter. And he's like... And he's just super excited to talk about Bloodshot again. So if we do Valiant Month. Did you hear that, like, Alien Comics or something owns Valiant now?
Alien
Books.
Yeah.
And then Valiant itself isn't independently, like, operated, or it's, like, owned by somebody else now. I guess Alien. But there's, like, a weird partnership. I don't really know what's going on.
I know IDW distributes their books.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So, because I guess that just kind of makes sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bundling things up and probably making it cheaper somehow.
Valiant has such a strange history. Anyway, issue 3, Daniel. Before Deadpool was captured, he actually found the leader and figured out that Ross needs information that the leader has, which is why he's keeping the leader held up. Apparently right now, leader's not super smart. He's kind of dumb, and Red Hulk, or Ross, is slowly feeding him gamma radiation to charge up his brain to make him smart. Until he gets what he needs. So Punisher recruits some Katajaya rebel forces to attack a base. The leader's brother, the Madman, is also searching for the same information that the leader knows about. And he has, like, Elektra captured. And then when Ross brings a dumbed down leader to the rest of the Thunderbolts, Punisher just immediately shoots and kills him. And I really like that. Just on site, Punisher just, like, fucking kills him.
Yeah, I'm like, what beef does he have with them?
Yeah, I don't know. He probably doesn't even know who that is. But yeah, he's red here. And when he gets shot.
Huh.
So I don't know why Leader's red right now. But.
Well, like, remember when the Gamma got into his blood, like in, like, the Hulk movie, they start turning green, you know? I think it just depends on whose blood he's got on him or something. I feel like there
is, like, green and red gamma radiation, but I could be making this
probably,
up.
Probably, like, because why else would he be red, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nathan, a monkey gets shot.
A monkey does get shot.
Does that mean you have a book?
No, that's not a rule.
Okay.
Because Hit Monkey gets shot at. That was a pretty fun book.
Yeah, but he doesn't get hit, though.
I think he gets hit. Maybe once.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was a weird part of this. That's how Frank Castle decided who's going to be the leader of the rebel forces.
Yeah.
Just whoever shoots the monkey first. This Madman guy was weird. I didn't know Leader had a brother, first off. So that's some deep comic shit.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this guy.
Oh, let me find that page. Yeah, and why is he, like, dark?
He, like, switches races, or, like, skin color when he turns into Madman.
He code switches, dude?
He code switches. Because when he's not Madman, he's just a white blonde dude. Because
when he shrunk down, I'm like, who's that?
Yeah, I know. I was really confused a lot of this book for some of these random characters that aren't clearly just superheroes. Because this guy, just, yeah, completely different person. He gets his hair back when he shrinks back down.
You ever, like, blow up a balloon and then the color gets lighter?
Yeah.
You think it'd be like that, but the other way around.
Just, like, whiter?
Yeah, he gets white, or maybe he's, like, normally kind of tan.
Oh, and then he turns white,
yeah.
Yeah, the melanin's being spread across.
Yeah, spread thin.
A bigger area. But apparently it works the opposite if you grow into big buff dude.
Yeah.
So this character's weird. I don't even know, like, what he does. He just seems to just, he just gets big, I guess.
Did you realize that, like, Red Hulk's eyes are, like, glowing?
Yeah.
This whole time? I didn't realize that until, like, this issue.
Until, like, right now?
And I'm like, why are they always yellow and, like, glowing?
Yeah, they do glow. I think they glued. I think they glued in the Red Hulk book that we read.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah.
Did we say that? Probably said that.
Say what?
That his mentioned eyes were... that they glued?
Yeah, I think they glued.
Okay.
Or I think we said that they glued.
Hmm.
I like the idea that there's like gamma weapons on this island. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, they have, I think they reveal later that it's got like a some sort of gamma conductor thing there.
On the island, yeah.
Yeah.
But like gamma weapons, I guess, are banned like worldwide except for this place that secretly has them.
Yeah.
So it's just a fun idea. Even though I think realistically, which obviously this book is, but if you get hit with like a bunch of gamma, it would take like 2 hours for your body to like completely just get fucked. Because I watched this TikTok, right? And it was like after they were planning on dropping a third atomic bomb in World War II, but they didn't. And so they had to like decommission the one that they were working on. And this guy was like kind of fucking around with it, trying to like take it apart. But then something happened where he was just hit. He like fucked up deconstructing it, and like the room like flashed white, and he was hit with like a ton of radiation. And he died like 3 hours later.
Yeah, I bet, dude.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then someone else tried to do it and they fucked up and then died like a few hours later.
Yikes.
That's fun.
That reminds me of like that. I think there was like a quote in like one of the war comics where like the second bomb didn't end like World War II. It was like the third bomb
that
we never dropped.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a cold line.
I'm like, brutal. So Rourke's got the leader in like a shipping container in Madripoor.
Mm-hmm.
And Deadpool shows up. And how did he escape?
So I think that they thought that he was dead because he gets shot.
In the head.
In the head.
Right.
So maybe they just left him.
Okay.
But I was also confused because I thought it was like being told non-linearly.
For like a second, but then they just shot.
Yeah. But which is still confusing to me because then in the present, they're like on a boat. like a pirate ship looking boat with the leader, I think.
You gotta transport him.
Yeah. And so I don't really know how all this lines up. But also he doesn't have a gunshot wound in his mask, so maybe he has an extra one. But yeah, it's not very clear how everything falls in place in this issue.
Yeah. I'll say. It'd be cooler if like Mike Allred's Madman was in this. Cause he'd be like, what?
His Madman?
His Madman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like Mad Spaceman.
That would be fucking awesome.
I'd be like, oh, another red guy.
Why doesn't Madman have ears? You notice that?
Who needs them?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that is another interesting.
I assume that's part of the character design.
Yeah, even Rourke's got ears.
Yeah. So issue 4. Red Hulk freaks out that Leader's dead now, so he takes Leader's body and he jumps away with him. Thunderbolts are like, well, what's the mission now? Because that was the guy that knew what we were supposed to do. So now the goal is to just save Elektra, who's been taken hostage. So Deadpool and Punisher distract the Madman guy while Agent Venom gets inside the building to rescue Elektra. There's like some backstory about the evil dictator, AWA, being controlled by the American military to hide some sort of particle accelerator that they wanted built over there. But the dictator, AWA, kills himself in front of Elektra. And then Ross is trying to revive the leader by shooting a bunch of gamma radiation at him. And this is a really funny panel to me. Because, like, the idea of Ross just, like, finding a pipe somewhere that pumps a bunch of gamma radiation. And you're able to just, like, fuck up that tube or that pipe and just point it at him to, like, revive him.
Yeah.
I think gamma radiation gives you, like, some sort of a healing factor in this context. But it's just funny that he's like, oh, here's some gamma radiation. And he just, like, points it at him. And that's just a funny concept to me.
Dude, somehow I didn't even catch that AWA like killed himself. I thought like Elektra did something.
No.
I was like, oh wow, she's badass.
How'd she do that? With her arms restrained.
So
the origin of this AWA dude is kind of hard to follow because he's bald in the present, but then in the past, he's got hair and he is also seemingly a different skin color. I mean, he's not, but like it's hard to tell in the past. And then like the Madman guy is also talking to the leader when they're both normal. And so I'm like, is one of these guys AWA? And so it took me a little bit of.
Right. So the whole like change in skin color thing made it also confusing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. Because this is AWA. He looks pretty white. Right. And then.
And the leader doesn't look too different from him.
And then this
like, is
AWA again. And he looks more like brown skinned.
Yeah.
So some of this is a little hard to follow for sure.
But we figured it out.
Yeah, we got there.
So first page of this one, Hank's on the ground with like a bloody nose and there's a mad Red Hulk behind him. Did Red Hulk punch Punisher?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he's like, he just seems a little pissed about it.
Like, yeah, and he's like, well,
he's not fucking dead.
I want to know how that looked, because if you get straight up punched, you're going to get more than just like one bloody nostril, you know?
Not Hank. Or not
Frank.
Not Frank.
You called him, I thought you called him Hank before, and I was like, maybe I heard that wrong.
My bad. Who am I thinking of? I don't know. Is there Hanks in comics?
Hank?
I don't know. I could be wrong.
But yeah, he does get punched by Red Hulk because he shot the leader. Punisher duct tapes a landmine to his chest and then jumps onto Madman to knock him out, which definitely should have killed the Punisher. I know, right. He has like special armor, but like that shit hits you in the chin.
The fucking explosion, pressure to your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just flying shrapnel.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I thought like landmines blew up like all together, not just like in one direction, you know? Because like that, he had like it pointed one way.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, do they work like that?
Well, I think that was just so it would get triggered when he hugs him, when he bear hugs him.
Right. That was a fucking hard
thing to do. And then this is such a funny, it's a funny but like really cool page at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was wild. But issue 5. So now that the dictator is dead, the existing military of Kata, Jawa, wherever we are.
Question. Does Gamma revive people?
I guess it does. I think it gives people that survive at a healing factor when they get more of it.
Huh. Okay. Never mind. Keep going.
So the dictator of this place is dead. The existing military tries to take control. Agent Venom kills a lot of them. And then he finds a big room full of people hooked up to computers. And we don't really know what that's about. Deadpool takes the human version of Madman, who code switches to a white guy, and he gives him as a hostage to the rebels. The leader ends up getting revived by the gamma radiation. And then this random person named Mercy, who I think was secretly also held hostage by Ross, but like escaped or something.
Because she was in the first issue, but like we didn't see her face. Who the fuck is that?
I think it's like a Hulk villain.
Maybe, yeah.
Like a regular Hulk villain.
I didn't look into it at all, but.
But she's like a witch or something, and she can make people turn on fire. But I think like her deal.
It seems more like a relative to death, you know? Like
yeah.
Like a Grim Reaper kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like that. And then I think it's a Hulk villain because like either Bruce Banner or Hulk doesn't want to die, so they're not able to like do that. I don't know. But Mercy tries to help Leader unlock his full potential so that they can get the information out of his brain. And that's pretty much it. But there's a scene where Punisher and Elektra have to like fight out of a crazy situation, and then after they do, they bang. And like Deadpool's just watching.
Yeah, Deadpool's in love with Elektra.
Yeah, he is in love with Elektra.
So he has feelings hurt.
Yeah, he doesn't like that too much.
Yeah. The double page spread of like them fighting like all the people, it seems very crowded. There's a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think Dylan does a really good like crowded double page spread like yeah. that, which is pretty cool. There's another one where like Agent Venom is like gunning down a bunch of guys, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, so super fun. It seems like Agent Venom is doing a lot of work in this book.
Probably the most work.
Yeah, like and he's just like on his own most of the time. Like he discovers this room full of like computer people. That's crazy.
And so why did Ross, like, why is he passed out? Did he get too much gamma radiation? So he unroked?
I don't know why he passed out. He just was tired, I guess.
Huh. Okay.
He needed water.
There's a Deadpool, like, makes, like, a joke. He's, like, quoting Yukon Cornelius.
Who that?
That's, like, the dude in, like, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer like claymation movie that's like looking for silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
I think he only did that because he drew like a mustache on his mask.
Yeah.
And Yukon Cornelius also has a mustache. And I'm like,
good reference.
Kind of a stretch.
Bit of a stretch, yeah.
And he's doing it to people from this place who I don't even think know English, but.
Yeah. Do they even know who Rudolph is?
He's really going for it.
Yeah. But he has like a change of heart. So he doesn't end up killing the bad man and he like hands him over to the rebel people. But he's wearing the cool necklace thing that Madman had on for some reason.
Is it cool?
It's pretty cool.
Deadpool calls himself a smooth brother. I thought that was funny. I can't remember why.
I think I glossed over that, but that's funny.
Does Frank, like, making out with Elektra, like, just seem wrong? Like, incorrect? I'm like, would they do that? Like,
I think they do that.
I thought like Daredevil and Punisher were kind of, just based off of the show, they're kind of friends in a way. And then isn't there like an Elektra Daredevil kind of relationship?
Yeah.
So it just seems kind of like,
maybe not at this point.
That's your bro's girl, you know? Your bro's ex-girl. Yeah, dude, come on.
I don't know if they're like super good buds necessarily.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, Elektra's kind of a loose cannon. I could see Elektra doing it. Punisher, I can't see like John Bernthal Punisher just being like a ladies' man kind of guy.
He seems somewhat kind of love interest in like the second season that he's
protecting.
But it seems more like a protector kind of thing, not necessarily like a romantic thing.
Yeah, he seems more like a tortured soul that wouldn't allow himself to like feel love. But I think Punisher in the comics,
he can get some ass.
Yeah, he can get some ass.
Mm-hmm.
So this feels fine to me. But issue 6. So Mercy burns all the rebel forces, and that's crazy.
What is her motivation?
I don't know what she does. I think she's from another planet or something.
They were like definitely in a pickle, but
yeah. So there's probably something here that we're missing, or we find out more about her later. But all the Thunderbolts meet up at the human computer lab thing, and it's revealed that the leader, before losing his memories, found a way to store his complete knowledge onto computers, which the madman guy has been trying to access to gain information by using people as like computers that help decode it.
To decrypt it somehow using people.
And so, but they both have the end goal of trying to gain as much information as the leader knew about gamma energy, which is also what Ross is after. And it's revealed that he was responsible for building the particle accelerator at the island. So anyway, Madman shows up. It's revealed that he doesn't need the weird necklace thing to become the Madman. That was just a misunderstanding. And he just becomes the Madman and starts fighting everybody.
Yeah.
And then Leader tells him something that makes his brain explode, which is convenient that he's got that iPhone text thing that used to be a thing. Remember that?
Huh?
You'd like text somebody something on iPhone and then it would just like shut their phone down.
Oh.
So his head explodes.
You just send him a plot twist.
Yeah.
You
know? And then apparently Madman had built something with that information that left the island already that's going to do a lot of damage. So the Thunderbolts have to go stop whatever that is.
Yeah, it's like probably like a bomb or something.
Probably just a gamma bomb. A boat. Gamma weapons of some sort. But that's the end of the arc.
Yeah, the arc's kind of just mostly on this island and then it's still set up for the next one.
Yeah, it's the Kata Jaya arc.
There is like kind of a standoff kind of thing between Frank and Deadpool. They're like aiming guns at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Deadpool's like, you can kill me first, but I'll kill you last.
I like that line a lot.
I was like,
actually.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cold from him.
One of the best Deadpool lines.
Mm. I like this reveal that Madman didn't actually need the thing around his neck.
Yeah.
So like when, who's bringing him in? Is it Agent Venom? He's like, look, I got this guy. And then Red Hulk's like, he doesn't need that fucking necklace. What are you doing? And then he just turns big. That's a funny moment to me.
Yeah.
But not a super satisfying end to a trade. It feels like, definitely feels ongoing, which this book is. So we can't really fault it for that. But
yeah,
it's not like we got a whole lot of answers about what was going on in general.
Yeah. I don't know what was kind of like missing from this to make me like it more, but I guess it kind of checks some boxes of what I like expected.
Yeah. It hit some areas that I expected, but I felt like I was going to like this a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that has to do with like the story is kind of throwing you around a little bit.
I think this is probably one of the more interesting Thunderbolts like lineups.
For sure.
As far as just like the kind of powers that they're working with.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones, it just seems like a lot of guys with guns.
Yeah.
Which could get probably bland, I imagine.
Yeah. I like the difference in abilities and stuff. I mean, I guess this one's just Hulk and then a couple people with weapons. But I guess the Venom aspect, you know, adds something if they use more Venom stuff.
Maybe later.
But yeah.
Anyway, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got some variants, Micah Diodato and some Scotty Young.
The Diodato one's gnarly.
Yeah, it is really cool. I like the Scotty Young one too.
Gotta love it.
It seems like this is early Scotty Young stuff because faces were like kind of small. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still doing that baby thing. And then we got connecting covers by Billy Tan and Jim Charlampidus. It's a fun name. And that's pretty much it. Was Billy Tan the guy that did the Agent Venom run?
Mm, I don't know. It sounds familiar, though.
Because just looking at the Agent Venom part of it, it looks like it, but I could be wrong. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I give it like a like it of like a strawberry ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotta be red.
Yeah, maybe like a strawberry syrup. But that's about it.
I give it a glass of like strawberry milk.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, it's red.
It's kind of pink.
Not the shit I buy. I'll give it some Red Hots then. Because it's a little bit more hardcore than regular candy.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
For sure.
It's pretty fun. I like Steve Dillon stuff. I like the Thunderbolts in general. So hopefully the movie's good. But I think I like the Warren Ellis one a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Just from what I remember.
And it's not like you're not biased because.
Because what?
Because what's his name's in there? Penance?
That can't be it. No, there's like a bigger Venom in there. There's Penance.
Big Venom.
Moonstone, I think, is in there. Everybody loves Moonstone.
Okay.
Green Goblin. Or at least Norman Osborn is controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the whole team. But there's some like pretty big moments, pretty cool art in there. I think it's Mike Deodato, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I remember that. I remember being like pretty entranced by Mike Deodato art. Or at least whoever it was.
Okay.
So pretty fun. But this is still good. And that's, I would say, probably the more famous run of all the Thunderbolts. So.
Really? Okay. I don't think I've ever like heard anyone talk about Thunderbolts necessarily. I just knew it was kind of like always around. Maybe I'd see it.
I think Thunderbolts, before like there's a movie announced about it, it's kind of like, you know, Ball, if you know Thunderbolts, you know what I mean?
Oh, really? Okay.
Because they're kind of.
I guess I didn't know Ball.
You didn't know Ball.
Like Marvel Ball.
Well, like
though.
You knew what Thunderbolts was.
Kind of.
Really?
Like if someone told me to like describe it, I'd be like, ah.
Hulk's in there.
Shooting team? I don't know.
Mm, okay. Like you didn't know Ball?
Yeah. I mean, like, I know it was like a team. That's really it. You know?
I mean, that's just what it is.
And so conceptually, I'm like excited for the movie, but mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah, I was. What do you think about the MCU Thunderbolts lineup?
I think it's good. I think it's cool that they're using like some characters that are kind of like leftover in a way.
And they do have some leftovers. They should just call it the leftovers.
Yeah.
Whoever said yes.
There's some like good additions in there that make it like interesting. You
I don't
know?
Think there's enough like power variety. I think it's just mainly some shoot 'em up guys.
You know right. I mean? But that's like, I mean, that's what cool. They all seem like all the runs seem like they've been is like people with guns. Like the 90s ones, it's just all 90s people with a bunch of
Thunderbolts?
90s guns, yeah.
Oh, really? I don't mm-hmm. even know who's on that team, but.
Like the only one you'll recognize is like Bucky.
Mm, okay.
So.
Yeah, maybe that's just kind of more of the spirit of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the poll list, Colin.
Do you have any box?
The pull is, what did you shove in your box?
So these are the releases of April 23rd.
Give them to me.
Absolute Wonder Woman, number 7.
Mm.
I imagine you're getting that based off of your
Can you see who the artist is on that? Or I can look it up too, but.
Yeah, look it up. We got Absolute Martian Manhunter, number 2.
Yes, sir. Big mm.
We got Justice League Unlimited, number 6. So you made a decision on that?
I haven't read the one that I said I was going to read and make a decision yet. So
Okay. Green Lantern, number
22. I'm behind on that.
I know.
I think I'm only on like 19.
It's in the 20. Oh, that's not bad then. Predator versus Spider-Man, number 1.
Who's in the art on that?
I don't know.
Then you gotta know these things.
I don't know these things.
Okay, hold on. Let me look at the Absolute Wonder Woman. That is it back to no, it's still Mattia de Ulis. So that's pretty cool. I really liked his issue for Absolute Wonder Woman 6. And then we have Predator Spider-Man, which is art by Marcelo Ferreira.
Yeah.
And Benjamin Percy on the words.
On words.
I'm excited for that.
Cool. We got Green Lantern Dark, number 4. Are you still on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm caught up. I don't really know where it's going or what we're doing, but as a Green Lantern fan, I like it.
Okay. And then Black Hammer Spiral City, number 5?
I'm not on that.
I am.
I need to catch up with Black Hammer. That's the next thing that I know is good that I should read that I haven't read yet, I think.
I got a lot of those, I feel like. Let's see. Okay, so that one's still ongoing. So it's...
Spiral City?
Yeah, 6 and 7 are on here.
Cool.
So that's a good thing to see. Did you read anything between in the last like day?
Yeah, I read one thing because I've been curious about it, and I read Absolute Green Lantern number 1.
Ooh. I understand why you'd be interested in it.
Yeah.
How would you think?
You know, I was actually better than I thought I was going to be.
Okay.
For some reason, I didn't think it was going to be as good as like the other ones.
I believe that, yeah. And is it better than Flash?
You know, they're all like kind of high up there, you know what I mean? I don't know where, dude.
It's all high quality books.
Ranking them would be really fucking hard for me, I feel like.
If you're just ranking the number ones.
I was surprised at the direction that they took, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Okay.
So, I think that's why I liked it more than I thought. I thought it was just a whole new character, which I'm totally cool with as well. And there are new characters in here, but I thought it was only going to be new characters. So, I thought it was going to feel more like Far Sector. But, like, there's a Hal Jordan in here. There's, like, a Jon Stewart. They're, like, friends.
Yeah. You know what
I
mean?
So, I just appreciate that.
Sure.
And there's stuff with like the Black Hand, which I didn't realize. So really cool.
Hmm.
It feels like the artist is a manga artist too.
Ooh.
Which is really, really cool for this. Dude, they make Abin Sur, the like original Green Lantern that crashes on Earth, look like fucking like Boo from Dragon Ball Z.
Cool.
He's so he's got so much aura as a instead of a goofy pink alien. You know what I mean?
Is that why he seems like a manga artist?
No. Like from the first panel, I'm like, this looks like a manga.
Oh, so, okay. As far as colored. Like backgrounds or like the style of people?
I think the style of people, the acting on like their faces, you know, the intensity and like when they get scared or, you know, things like that.
That's cool.
So yeah, I forget the name of the artist, but he's good.
Nice.
So I liked it a lot more than I thought. Probably about the same as Absolute Flash as far as how I enjoy it. How much I enjoy it. I probably enjoyed this more than Flash, but I just like Green Lantern. So.
Are you going to get more?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm glad. For some reason, I was like scared that I wasn't going to like it, but I do. What'd you read?
I read, you know, 'Tis the Season, Nathan. I read
The Season?
Creepshow and Love.
Oh, no. Wait, what?
This came out like around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had it. I just wanted to read a quick number one.
Okay. Does someone fall in love with a zombie?
No.
Does someone fall in love?
Yeah.
Is it a monster that falls in love?
Is it a monster that falls in love? Depends on who you ask.
What's it about?
So it's like an anthology. So okay. There's like 3 stories in there. One of them's Mirka Andolfo.
Oh, cool.
And
she's great.
Yeah. Her story was just like this serial killer. So I guess a monster in a way.
Okay.
Who like captures couples and then like takes parts from each of them and puts them together. But like these like amalgam people that he makes, like he doesn't like fall in love with them. Like they're not like just right, you know?
Mm.
And he's like, no one is like of like pure heart or something. Okay. And that's like someone that he's like looking for. And so he finds this other couple and he thinks like they're like the perfect couple, and he hunts them down and tries to trap them like in his house.
Yeah.
But then they turn around and shoot him.
Oh.
Because they're like FBI agents or something and they're hunting him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So they're acting as a perfect couple?
I don't know. Well, it turns out that the perfect pure heart that he was looking for was like his own. So he cuts out his own heart.
That's nice.
Yeah, nice happy ending.
Oh, I like that.
I was like, okay.
That's definitely an anthology story.
Yeah, just you know, some 8 pages or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a story by Patrick Horvath.
No way.
Which is really cool. Do you want me to tell you about it or you just want to like read it?
Tell me about it.
So there's this dude who has like a love potion thing. Mm-hmm. And this kid like buys it. And the dude's like, you don't need a lot. like you just like just put some on your finger and like tap it on like your neck or whatever.
Okay.
But he, when he has it open, he accidentally crashes in the car in front of him and like spills. Okay. But the car in front of him is like someone like giving him like a ticket. And so like the ticket lady like is like madly in love with him and like smashes through like his like car window get to him. And then she like follows him to his house and he like pushes her like off of like his like second story balcony or whatever to get away. And then he goes back to the person's house who sold him the love potion. And he's like, you gotta help me. He's like, you came here? You know? He's like, no, it's fine. She's dead. He's like, when you use that much of the potion, they'll still come after you even though they're dead.
Whoa.
And so this like zombie like person is like coming after him and like rips like the dealer's head off.
Damn.
Yeah. And then
what a great creep show specific story.
Yeah. And then I can't remember what happens, but I think he ends up like chopping her up and then putting her in like different dumpsters. Mm. And he's like explaining this to someone who works at like a grocery store for some reason, like a year later. And the girl is like, well, it doesn't matter if it's in like different dumpsters. Wouldn't they all go to the same dump? He's like, and then the girl finds him at the grocery store and rips his head off because she's just so in love with him.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That was definitely the best one.
Yeah. Man, that guy, he's so good.
Yeah, it was the first time I saw him drop people.
Yeah, it is weird, huh? Because the billionaire one I read, I was like...
It's still kind of like the same like style, but it's just people he's drawing. Yeah. You know? So it looks really good. And I don't remember what the third story was, but I just remember it wasn't as good as the Patrick Horvath one.
Yeah.
So.
I actually remember when I read Free For All, that single issue that he did, in the back matter of that issue, he was talking about different little projects. And I think Creepshow was one of them.
Yeah. So I think that's mostly why I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good reason. Good. Yeah. That's fun.
I read Saga of Swamp Thing, number 28.
Is that Alan Moore?
Yeah, Alan Moore. That's cool. Start of the second book. I read the first book like years ago.
Yeah.
I just kind of had an itch to read it for some reason. So I got on that.
I hear it like holds up pretty well.
The first trade is a little dense and I remember it being kind of like a chore to get through, but this one, it seems to be churning a little bit faster and the issues don't seem as long.
Sweet. Have we done a Swamp Thing? I don't think so. Oh, no. Yeah, we did.
Huh?
No, that was Animal Man.
Yeah. So
Swamp Thing would be good.
This one was kind of interesting because he's like seeing the ghost of like Alec Holland. And he's like, I'm not Alec Holland. And so he's like trying to find his body, you know, and he finds it at like the bottom of like this lake. And he's like digging like a grave the whole time.
Yeah.
And he goes and puts like all that's left is like his skeleton. It's kind of funny because like he grabs the skeleton and it's just like all together, you know, it doesn't like break apart. He like grabs it with like one hand and throws it in there. And I'm like, hold on. And so I think in order for him to like put Alec Holland to rest and for him to stop being like haunted by the ghost, whether it's real or not, he needed to like kind of put him to rest in a way.
Fun.
Because I thought Alec Holland was like in there, but it's just like his consciousness that's like in Swamp Thing.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I think some versions he's in there.
Yeah, because I remember like a Scott Snyder Swamp Thing cover.
Yeah,
where Alec Holland is like on the cover as a good person.
I've read the.
I think you bought it.
Yeah, I think I read the Scott Snyder, the first trade of Scott Snyder. I think it's Raphael Albuquerque.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, I read the Scott Snyder one, and I think he's in there. Anyway, so what made you want to read Swamp Thing?
So, other thing I read Hitman Volume 1 by Garth Ennis and John McCree. And I don't know, it was just like, I liked it a lot. And I've been in kind of like a 90s vertigo kind of mood lately.
That's fair.
And so, you know, we did like Fables and we did like Hellblazer. That Hellblazer is like newer, but just like kind of that like spooky, like kind of mystical vibe I've just been like really into. So when I finished that volume, I'm like, I should read Swamp Thing just because I think I just have this crazy tolerance now when it comes to like the denser, older stuff.
Yeah, I think you...
So I've been kind of cashing out on that.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so Hitman's really good. I think it's like kind of funny, you know? Mm. It's not like fully formed Garth Ennis, you know, like okay. how we know him now. It's like pre Boys and Punisher and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, so Hitman's like based in the DC universe.
Right.
And there's this, there's like a hit put out on like the Joker.
Oh.
And so, but Batman catches wind of this. And like when Hitman's like in like Arkham or whatever, Batman like jumps right in front of him. He's like, who are you? It's like, it's just funny because like he clearly knows who he
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
It's like you can look at him and kind of piece together who he is.
You can make a, I'll give you three good guesses.
Yeah. Hitman, he can see through walls and he can read people's minds.
Oh, so, I didn't know he had powers.
Yeah. He's not like OP or anything, but it definitely helps him.
For Hitmaning, that's pretty good.
For Hitmaning.
Yeah.
And he's got like a moral code where he only takes hits that are like bad people, you know?
That's good.
It's pretty good. I like it a lot. I'm gonna read more.
Nice. Very cool.
Did you happen to watch anything or?
No. I want to start Solo Leveling though. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've only heard good things.
Yeah, me too.
I have a dude at work who like every time TV comes up, he asks me if I watch Solo Leveling because he knows I'm like the only person who watches like anime. I haven't watched any recently, but.
So you're the weeb guy for him.
Yeah. But I watched Justice League Dark. Apocalypse War.
Okay, cool. That's one of the Constantine in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that really makes it
Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
Isn't it like Zatanna?
Zatanna's in it. Yeah,
that makes it dark.
Okay. Because I think there was like a Justice League Dark, and then this is like the sequel to that, but I don't think you really need to watch the first one.
Yeah.
Because it all made sense to me. This is like the last DC animated thing for that like universe they were building.
Right. Yeah, DC animated universe.
Yeah. It's fucking bonkers. It's really good.
Really?
Yeah, I think you should watch it. I fucking loved it.
Oh, cool. Is there good Constantine stuff?
There's some good Constantine stuff. I know how when we're reading like magic stuff, we're not like, it seems like there's always like the spell that you need, you know, and that kind of makes it a little like less interesting, you know? But I kind of wasn't really worried about that when watching this. So just a couple things. Like Darkseid, he's got his like parademons or whatever. But in order to like kind of make them worse, he like injects them with like Superman's DNA, kind of like how Doomsday is.
Yeah.
But they're called like the Paradooms now.
Okay.
Which is so
Paradooms?
Yeah, Paradooms. They're just these like OP like minion things.
Okay.
Etrigan is in this. That was kind of fun.
Is he talking rhyme?
No.
Damn.
Because like the world ends and someone he knows dies, and so he's just not into it.
Mm. They probably wanted to figure out a reason to not have to do that.
Maybe.
That's cool. I still like Etrigan.
Yeah, so they're like on Apocalypse and it goes badly. You know, and so
it's
the world is like in its own apocalypse kind of thing, you know, and Superman, he's not Superman anymore because Darkseid gave him like a kryptonite tattoo with liquid kryptonite and he tattoos like the Superman crest on his chest and it's like green.
Whoa.
It's kind of cool.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah. And
I want to see what that would have looked like. Is it Darkseid sitting there and he's like wiping it away?
Yeah, they should.
No way.
Oh, well, he's not like doing it like that. But and then when like they get rid of that, so he had like a beard.
He does laser.
And as soon as he gets rid of that, his beard disappears and his and his suit is back. I'm like, hold on.
What is the suit?
Wait a minute. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because they had to go back to Apocalypse to, you know, solve it or whatever. And the whole time you're like, why is John Constantine here? And but then Superman says, like, John, why are you still here? You know? And so I'm like, all right, thank you. There's like a couple people who like died on Apocalypse like the first time around. And so they're all like fused with the mother box, like kind of like how Cyborg is. So there's a bunch of these like cyborg like heroes that we know, which is kind of neat.
Okay.
Oh, here's a magic thing that was a little annoying. So Cyborg is like, he's like embedded into the wall and is part of like the system of the network on Apocalypse.
Okay.
And Constantine uses techno magic to debug him. And I'm like, sure. That's the biggest stretch I've ever fucking heard.
This guy knows techno magic.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that seems like a bit of a stretch.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's kind of like, it kind of reminded me of like Flashpoint in a way, but just like a little different, you know, with like this
alternate Earth type thing.
Alternate Earth in like disarray and whatnot. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Good. It's nice. It's on Max if you want to watch it.
Yeah. There's a lot of those that I've heard good things about. Mm-hmm. So what are we reading next week?
Nathan, what are we reading next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
I don't know. What are we? What are we doing?
So, I had an idea.
Okay.
So, Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's kind of like a rebranding of like a heavy metal animated movie that they're trying to reboot.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in like the heavy metal animated movie from like the 80s, there was kind of like a flagship character who's called Tarna, which is like a, I pulled it up, which is like this like sword and shield, like barbarian-esque person who probably has like powers or something in space.
Is this an Alex Ross cover?
That is an Alex Ross cover.
Cool.
There's a couple runs of that, but
Tarna.
Since like heavy metal is like a magazine, it's mostly like anthologies, but this is one where they had like individual issues of, even like Stephanie Phillips did like a run.
Yeah.
Like in 2020. So I thought that might be interesting to do.
So this is a trade of Tarna stuff.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. I have no idea what it's about, but I'm down.
I did have to like kind of find it.
Yeah. That seems like it.
And I was thinking if we did something like this, that could lead us into a sort of a theme month of, you know, those like kind of like smutty comics that are out there where it's like
Vampirella.
Red Sonja, whatever, you know, that might be interesting.
Maybe. I've always been kind of curious about them because they're huge, but I don't know if they're huge. I can't imagine they're huge just because they're smutty. You know what I mean?
I think they are.
I don't know.
You think? Well,
I think someone like Christopher Priest is like,
yeah,
but like, I don't think Vampirella necessarily is, or like Red Sonja.
Red Sonja is from Conan. It's like a Conan side character.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. But if we happen to not do Tarna, then we'd have like 4 weeks until like Predator.
Gotcha.
So we could do like a different theme month.
No, I'm down for Tarna.
Or we could do a theme month that's only 3 weeks.
Gotcha. Is Tarna on Comixology?
Yeah, you'd have to buy it, but.
Ooh, it is. No, I'm curious what this is. I'm down for this.
Ooh. And yeah, because I think this is one of the only
Alex DeCampi
like kind of trades that comes out of heavy metal stuff. So I thought that'd be interesting.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ooh.
And that's some history about Love, Death, and Robots I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's true. I double checked.
Okay, good.
I went to Love, Death, and Robots panel at Comic-Con and I talked about history and stuff.
Cool. That's fun.
It's pretty neat. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Link tree is in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, and stuff like that.
Shoot us an email. Tell us what your favorite Thunderbolts roster is.
Yeah.
TraderIsPod@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And let us know if you're excited for the movie.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.